commit this message to you now. Fill me with your spirit. Simply means control me completely with your spirit. Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray that you'll bind Satan's hands to keep us distracted or thinking about other things. May we just focus upon you and your word. And Lord, may we draw closer to you, be encouraged and challenged in our walk with you, we pray. Lord, we love and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I know this part's going to be kind of a challenge, but don't answer, okay? Just don't answer, all right? Just listen. Just think for a minute, okay? What do these four things have in common? These four things have in common. An ambulance with a siren on. An ambulance with a siren on. A football team in the two-minute drill. A pregnant woman with real contractions. And a crooked cowboy being chased by a sheriff's posse. Now think about that for just a moment. I'm going to repeat those again. What do these four things have in common? An ambulance with a siren on. Some of you say siren. How many of you say siren? Nobody? You just don't want to admit it. A football team and a two-minute drill. A pregnant woman with real contractions and a crooked cowboy being chased by a sheriff's posse. Does anyone have a guess on what those four things have in common? Tim? A sense of urgency. Nailed it. That's right. They're all in a hurry, right? And tonight we're going to be talking about that. We've been talking about the glories of heaven. The glories of heaven. And behold, I make all things new. And while I'll think of it, next week we're going to entertain questions about heaven or any thoughts you may have about heaven. We'll talk about that a little bit. And if I tell you, is it still a pop quiz? And there will be a pop quiz next week. Nobody will know what you scored but you and God, but there will be a test that you'll take. We'll call it a final examination on this new stuff that we've talked about. Don't be intimidated. Nobody will know what you got right or what you didn't get right. It's between you and the Lord. But all of these things are in a hurry. And tonight we're looking at the last official new thing in particular. We're going to do some review, answer any questions you might have or try to, and take our test and all that on it. But tonight, when he said, I make all things new, this is a little bit different than the others, okay? But tonight, a new sense of urgency, a new sense of urgency. And what we're going to talk about tonight, I believe every one of us ought to have a sense of urgency about it, and everybody ought to be in a hurry about it, all right? So turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, Revelation 22, Revelation 22. Tonight's specific point that we're looking at, a new sense of urgency. In Revelation 22, first of all, this is the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. So it's the last chapter in the book. And this last chapter of the last book of the Bible makes it clear that the Lord is coming back soon in the rapture. That the Lord is coming back soon in the rapture. If you look at Revelation 22, look at verse 7. It says, behold, I come quickly. And if you have a red letter edition, those are written in red because they're the words of Jesus, right? Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. You know, when it says quickly, it's not like, now, it will be quick. It talks about in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, right? But it will happen that way. But when it says quickly here, it's really talking about soon. Soon. And you say, well, preacher. This book was written some, 2,000 years ago. And we're still, it says, behold, I come quickly. Now, we understand why God has not come back. The Bible tells us quite clearly, and we'll look at that in a little bit, because he's being long-suffering to those that are lost, right? But when the Lord doesn't look at time the way we do, right, I think we ought to be ready, don't you? So the last chapter of the last book of the Bible makes it clear that the Lord is coming back soon in the rapture. And it doesn't only say it there. It says, "Behold, I come quickly." But look at verse 10 of the same chapter. "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of the book, for the time is at hand." Now, the angel of the Lord there says, "For the time is at hand." When someone says, "It's time," what does that mean? It's right there, right? "The time is at hand" is another way of saying the Lord is coming back quickly, right? Everything in this book, the last times and mainly the tribulation period, it's just right here. Now you say, "Well, I've heard preachers say that for my whole life." Well, hopefully you'll keep hearing preachers saying the Lord's coming back and coming back soon. And you say, even if you're wrong, preacher, that it's not going to happen in the next 5 minutes or the next 5 months or the next 5 years or the next 5 decades or next 5 centuries or whatever, we're closer now than we were when we started the service some 17 minutes ago. So, I mean, it's ticking down. It's ticking down. You see, the last chapter, the last book of the Bible makes it clear that the Lord is coming back soon in the rapture. He says, "Behold, I come quickly, for the time is at hand." Look at verse 12. Again, the words in red says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man as according as his work shall be." And it goes on to say, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." So if the Lord says, "I'm coming back soon," I think I need to take it pretty serious, don't you? And we should have a sense of urgency about his return. And there's another time in verse 20. Look all the way down to verse 20. It says, "He which testifieth these things saith," there again, words in red, if you have a red letter edition, spoken by Jesus, "Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." Now, isn't it interesting that he says, "Behold," and "Behold," twice, but here he says, "Surely." So "behold" is like, "Hey, wake up, I'm coming back soon," twice. And then the last time, "Surely," in case you really don't believe me, I'm going to assure you. You know, when someone tells you, "Now, I want to assure you that I'm telling you the truth." In a sense, when he says "surely," he said, "Now listen, this is going to happen." A new sense of urgency. First of all, the last chapter of the last book of the Bible makes it clear that the Lord is coming back soon in the rapture. And I really don't think it's an accident that it's the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. And actually, all the way down to the second to last verse, it says, "The rapture is coming soon." Now, it's not specifically a lesson or a message tonight on the rapture. Or we'd be looking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and looking at what's going to happen. But let's just do a quick Reader's Digest synopsis of what the rapture is, okay? Now, there's nothing that has to happen before the rapture, okay? And the Bible says there's going to be three sounds. There's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, okay? And then Jesus, what's happening? Jesus is coming in the clouds with the soul and the spirit of those that have gone on before. And when those three sounds, a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God sounds, guess what's going to happen? The graves are going to burst open. And in a way that I say, I think pretty much this every time I say it, in a way that is beyond my comprehension, but the graves are going to be burst open. And the soul and spirit that's with Jesus in the clouds will get their brand new body. So it'll come somehow from this earth and it'll go up and boom, there they are. They now are complete. They have an immortal body, they have a soul, and they have a spirit. And then it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with Jesus." So basically, I'm voting for this. I'm voting for the rapture to happen rather than death. But when we go up, as we go up to be with Jesus and the others that are there in the clouds, we're going to get a brand new body. And it also is going to be an immortal body that will not die, an incorruptible body that does not corrupt or get old. And then it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we're supposed to comfort. This is a good thing, right? So that's the rapture of the church. And it really could happen at any time. There's nothing, there's no sign that needs to be fulfilled that the Lord is coming back to get his children. And here in the last chapter of the last book, behold, I come quickly, for the time is at hand. And behold, I come quickly, surely I come quickly. Secondly, under this topic of a new sense of urgency, other places in Revelation tell us that the Lord is coming back soon in the rapture also. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Let me read that to you. It's up there on the monitor as well. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Near the beginning of the book, it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Wow. So again, when it says the time is at hand, it means it's just right here. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11, another place in the book of Revelation that talks about the Lord's return or the rapture happening soon. It says in verse 11, behold, there it is again, behold. And these are the words of the Lord, right? To the various churches, specifically to the church at Philadelphia. Right here he says, behold, I come quickly or soon. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You see, not only does the last chapter of the last book of the Bible make it clear that the Lord's coming back soon in the rapture, but other places in Revelation say that the Lord is coming back soon in the rapture. Thirdly, under the main topic of a new sense of urgency, Paul wrote that the Lord is coming back soon in the rapture. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. Look at what this says, as Paul wrote to the Roman Christians. Chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Wow. The day is at hand. What? The day of the Lord's return is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let's quit walking in darkness, let's walk in light because the Lord's coming back. The day is specifically there, is at hand. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Also, Paul writing to the Philippian, the local church there in particular. I think we ought to take it particularly here tonight. What do you think at Oak Mound tonight? Oak Mound, this local church, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. It's talking about your moderation, your self-control, your moderation, not being in extremes, but let your self-control be known unto all men, or your moderation. What's it say? The Lord is at hand. Now, that could be saying the Lord is always present, which he is, but it's probably saying, guess what? The Lord's return is just right here. So make sure that we live discipline, self-discipline with God's help, lives before the Lord. So not only does the last chapter of the last book of the Bible make it clear that the Lord's return is soon in the rapture, other places in Revelation does. Paul wrote in two different places at least that the day is at hand, the Lord is at hand. But the Apostle Peter wrote that the Lord is coming back soon in the rapture also. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. You want to turn there in your Bible? 1 Peter chapter 4. It says in verse 7, Now, we can spend a lot of time looking at these different passages, but just kind of hitting and running, kind of. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. You see, Peter recognized that the end is near. The Lord's return is near. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober or serious and watch, what? Unto prayer. So we should be praying, we should be watching, we should be ready, because the Lord's return is at hand. It's just right there. The Lord's coming back in the rapture will come as a, what the Bible says, a thief in the night. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Look at verse 9, 10, and 11, those three verses. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9, 10, and 11. We spent a lot of time on Wednesday nights looking at this passage, probably months, maybe even years ago now. But we were looking at this. But notice what it says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, primarily talking about slack as far as his promise to return. It says, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me pause right there. You know what the Lord wants to have happen? He wants to see every soul saved. He wants to see every old rotten rascal out there saved. Isn't that right? It says, but here it is, verse 10, but the day of the Lord. Now, that's the beginning of end times. And what's the beginning of end times? The rapture of the church. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, this is a probing question. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Wow. In other words, since everything's going to burn up and the Lord's return is at hand, how should we be living? What kind of people should we be? That's a good question, don't you think? How many people get that mixed up? And they're living for this world. They're living for all the glory of this world, all the praise of this world, all the possessions of this world. And then it says, guess what? They're going to all burn up. The Lord's right here at hand. The Lord's return is right here at hand. So what should we be? What should we be doing? Pretty probing questions, I believe. But it says the Lord's coming and the rapture will come as a thief in the night. A thief in the night. Now, there's going to be a whole lot of perplexed individuals in this world. Let me tell you, now, I don't think it's like half of the population is going to be taken up in the rapture. I mean, I think that's very optimistic. I don't think half the world's saved. I'd venture to say that it'll be way less than half. Let me just stop there. But still, there's going to be some that go up. Remember, we talked about the path that is narrow, and there are few be that find it, and it leads to life. And then we talked about I guess it was not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, we talked about the broad way, and many that find it, and it leads to destruction. So that to me tells me that it's not a majority of people that are saved. It's a very small minority. But guess what? When the rapture happens, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, what in the world? And I'll guarantee you that one of the biggest theories that will come up will be UFOs. You know, all this UFO talk and these, you know, anything that you see in the sky that you don't know what it is, it's a UFO. I remember I think I told you about this. I was mowing up at out in Doddridge County, and it was dark. See, I have no problem with mowing after dark sometimes. You know, and that's why mowers have headlights. And that's when you can't get it all done in the daylight, you do it after dark. And I do that sometimes, and it's cooler and more comfortable, and I haven't gone over the hill. And there is a very serious hill there, isn't there, Ryan? I haven't gone over the hill yet. If I do, you'll hear that I'm in the hospital. But anyway, one night I was, and I looked up, and the weirdest thing is like there's this big bright like streak up in the sky, and a light up there, and I'm like, wow, what is that? And then the thing started coming toward me. I'm thinking, UFO, there's a UFO. And believe me, it is, because I couldn't identify what it was. It was an unidentified flying. It was flying, and it was an object. And I was like, man, that's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. And it went by, and it was kind of like this big streak below it, you know, like a light flash below it, and it was coming. And I figured out, I identified it, so it's no longer a UFO. I think it was a helicopter that had a saw on it that was trimming trees, and they had the light shining down, and that's what I was seeing, was the light and the thing flying over. I can't prove that, but it's no longer a UFO. It's an IFO. It's an identified flying object, I guess. But I'll guarantee you that when the Christians leave this world, there's going to be a lot of theories. And one of the theory, you know, it's alien forces. It's UFOs. They took these people. They were a little strange anyway, so in their mind, they'll be saying. And these aliens took them, and that's where they are. And I'm convinced. Now, I know I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but I'm convinced that some preachers that did not get saved will be saying things like, huh, it couldn't be the rapture, because they don't want to say that they didn't make it. And believe me, a lot of churches are going to go on just like they were. Now, that's kind of scary to think about, but that's the truth of the matter. Really, it is. Because if those individual people in that church aren't saved, they're not going to go up in the rapture, and they'll still be meeting in churches. And the only way, there's only one way to get to heaven, that's Jesus. By putting your faith and trust in Jesus. Now, I'm so sick of people saying it doesn't matter what you believe as long as they're sincere. You can sincerely believe a lie and spend forever in a godless hell. The Bible, and that's my authority, says there's only one way to be saved. And if that church is not teaching that, it's not a true church with the gospel. And there's got a lot of people in that church that are not saved. And believe me, there could be some by chance, in spite of what their church teaches, that might be saved. But let me tell you, we need to make sure we're saved, and some churches will go on just like normal. Like, wow, did you hear what happened? Yeah, we lost a lot of people in the world. You see all the news reports? Yeah. Because they haven't given their heart in faith and trust to Jesus. So, the Lord's coming back, and the rapture will come as a thief in the night. It's going to happen. You know, a thief doesn't announce, hey, everybody, you know, I'm coming in 3 weeks and I'm going to rob your house. So again, it could happen before that clock on that wall there strikes 7:30. The Lord could come back. So, since a new sense of urgency, the last chapter, the last book of the Bible makes it clear that the Lord's coming back soon in the rapture. Secondly, other places in Revelation tell us that the Lord is coming back soon in the rapture. Paul wrote that the Lord is coming back soon in the rapture, and to the Roman Christians and to the Philippian Christians. Peter wrote that the Lord's coming back soon in the rapture. And the Lord's coming back in the rapture, it says, it will come as a thief in the night. Let's see, the next point under this main point is a new sense of urgency. The Lord will come back in the rapture at a time we think he won't. The Lord will come back in the rapture at a time we think not. Matthew 24. We'll turn to that passage, and you're welcome to do the same. Matthew 24, verse 42, 43, and 44. It says, this is the words of Jesus again, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And it's true. I don't know. I mean, some people try to say the Lord's coming back. Cults have set times like that. That was the start of the Seventh-day Adventists, this cult right out here. That was the start of them. I think her name was Ellen White. She set a time that the Lord was going to come back. It's been a long time ago. This is like, I believe, in the 1800s. I'm not positive about that. I have to look up the date again. But she, you know, they, from what I understand, they got on their white robes, went up to the top of a mountain because she predicted that the Lord would. Now she's a prophet in their way of viewing things. It's a call. And they said, the Lord's coming back. Guess what happened? He didn't come back. So they had to revise their theology and their prophecies to say, well, it must be some other time. And let me tell you, we cannot predict when he's coming back, but I can tell you he's coming back soon. And I can tell you that we need a new sense of urgency about that. And I can tell you it ought to encourage us in our walk with the Lord, right? The Lord is coming back soon. It says, for you know not, in verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. In other words, if the good men of the house had known, he'd have been ready. Guess what? We need to be ready. You agree with that? If you agree with that, just give me a little nod. Don't get too excited. Just a little nod. All right. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. In an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. You see, the Lord will come back in the rapture at a time we think he won't. In verse 42, again, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I remember that little booklet they put out. I'm not sure who did that. I really can't tell you exactly who was the author. But 88 Reasons Why the Lord is Returning in 1988. That didn't work either, did it? 12 and 26, what, 38 years ago? And we're still waiting, so we can't set a date. Oh, I figure. Man liked to try to say they know when he's coming back. And I'm not setting a date, but I'm just telling you he's coming back soon. I don't know when, but he's coming back soon. So the Lord will come back in the rapture at a time we think he won't. Next, we need to be ready for the Lord's return in the rapture. Isn't that what that verse says down there in verse 44? Therefore be ye also ready. Ready. So we must be ready for the Lord's return. And if it could happen at any time and we don't know when it's going to be, that means we can't put it off and say, well, maybe next year I'll be ready. Or maybe even tomorrow I'll be ready. But not today. We need to be ready now. Because it could happen at any time. The last point we're going to look at, we should look forward to the Lord's return in the rapture. Go back to Revelation 22, where we started, the last book of the Bible, the last chapter in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation 22. Who wrote the book of Revelation? Obviously God, but who was the man? John, the Apostle John, right? Now listen to his little comment. And it's under the direction of the Holy Spirit. But in verse 20, it says again, he which testifieth these things saith, and these are the words of the Lord, surely I come quickly. And I believe the Apostle John couldn't restrain himself anymore. I mean, in another direction of the Holy Spirit, he said, even so come, Lord Jesus. In other words, come on, I'm ready. How about right now? So we should look forward to the Lord's return as well, don't you think? We should look forward. He's excited about the Lord's return. I can tell that. Now, tonight, we've continued in the series, The Glories of Heaven. Behold, I make all things new. This is actually part 11. A new sense of urgency. And if you read here at the end of Revelation, you get the point that the Lord's coming back soon. So what's this sense of urgency? What should this sense of urgency mean to us individually? We should have a sense of urgency as an individual Christian. You know, number one, everybody alive, awake, alert, and enthusiastic. Some of you are lying. You're not. But maybe you're close. I'm joking. What should that mean to us individually? Number one, We better make sure we're saved. We better make sure that we're truly saved. If you're holding on to anything other than what Jesus did for you on the cross, you're holding on to the wrong thing, and you're going to sink, so to speak, to the bottom of the ocean because it's not going to hold you up. It's not going to float. Guess what? You need to make sure that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus at a specific point in time. Well, some people, you say, well, are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Yeah. When? Always have been. No, you haven't always been. No, you weren't. You were born a rotten sinner with a sin nature. You've not always been. There has to be a point in time. It's like a wake-up call. You go, oh, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I need to do something with this sin. And you call out to the Lord in sincere prayer and say, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I believe Jesus really did die for me on the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. And I commit my life to Jesus. I confess Him as my Savior, and here I am. And if there's not been that point in time that you've done that, you're sitting there just as lost as the worst rotten sinner in the world. Because if we're not saved by works, right? We can't be lost by being pretty good either. It's all because of Jesus. You know what I mean? I mean, there's very immoral people in the world, and you're just as lost as they are because you're either saved or you're lost. And it's all by the blood of Jesus, all by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. And I don't want to make anyone doubt their salvation, but I think you better be sure. And that's why I like that question. Are you 100% sure that if you die tonight, you're on your way to heaven? And because of what Jesus did for me and what I did with that in a point in time decision, I can be sure. I'm 100% sure that if I die, I'm going to heaven. Seriously. And you can be too. And if you sit there going, I don't know about that. You know, the sense of urgency that the Lord is coming back and how we should respond to that should make us want to be saved. We should want to nail that thing down. And if you're not sure, I'd love to talk. I mean, it's not a bother. It's not taking my time. It's not anything that I don't want to do. I'd love to sit down and talk with you and say, hey, let's nail this thing down. Because it could happen at any point. And do you remember what happens to this old earth once Christians go? And it talks about that which restraineth is taken away. Some people say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. You know, then Antichrist will be revealed and all that. And some say it's a church. And they kind of like, it's a church. No, it's the Holy Spirit. No, it's a church. No, it's the Holy Spirit. Guess what? I think they're both right. I think when the church goes, the Holy Spirit goes. And therefore, the Antichrist is revealed. And tribulation starts on this. And that's when the wrath of God is poured upon. You think you've been through a tough time? You wait. If you go through the wrath of God in the tribulation period, believe me, people are going to want to die and they can't. I mean, they're going to want to get out of this and they can't. So I tell you what, if you're listening in or you're here tonight, you better make sure you're saved, because before that clock hits 7:30, we may be out of here. And the next thing that's going to happen on this earth, if you don't go out of here, is the wrath of God is going to be poured upon this world. And people are going to want to die, and they can't. And people are just going to dread everything about it. And you say, well, can't people get saved in the tribulation period? Actually, honestly, I do. Some do not believe you can. If you've heard a clear presentation of the gospel before that, they may be right, so I wouldn't take a chance. But I think you can, but you're going to lose your life. You know, I mean, to me, it's so simple in this age of grace. I mean, God loves you so much, He sent His Son Jesus. All you have to do is mean it from a heart, ask Him to save you and forgive you and be your Savior. You can be saved. I mean, like, boom, that's it. That's easy. But in the tribulation period, if you wait and you find yourself in the tribulation period, I do believe that people can be saved, but you're primarily going to lose your life. Because you're going to say, no, 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 I don't want that mark of the beast on my forehead. I don't want that mark of the beast on my hand. And guess what? That's going to create a problem in itself, because you're not going to be able to buy anything. You're not going to be able to buy food or anything because you're not got the mark of the beast. And you will be killed for your faith. I don't know about you. I'd just do it now. You don't have to worry about the tribulation. You can go straight up with Jesus in the rapture. So make sure you're saved. That sense of urgency should involve us individually. Make sure that you're saved. If you're not, settle that tonight. Secondly, make sure that you're fessed up, prayed up, and read up. Confessed up. You've confessed to the Lord any sins you have and ask Him to forgive you of those sins. You're prayed up. You've had a consistent prayer life with the Lord, not just when you treat Him as a heavenly bellhop, but when you really, in life, you treat Him like a friend in a relationship, and you pray, been praying to Him. And you've been read up. In other words, you've been reading the Bible. You've been in God's Word, letting Him speak to your heart. Make sure that you're right with the Lord. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. Again, before that clock hits 7:30, we might be out of here. So are you ready? I mean, are you ready? Are you saved? And are you right with the Lord? Thirdly, the sense of urgency should involve us individually in the sense that we make sure that we're looking forward to being with Jesus. You know, the Apostle John was looking forward. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I mean, he was looking forward to it. And if you can't get a little bit of excitement in your heart and life that you're going to see your Savior Jesus, if you can't get a little bit of excitement about being relieved from all the cares and the struggles and the pains and the problems and the health issues and the financial issues and all of this life and relationship problems, if you can't get a little bit excited about it, I really wonder about you, whether you're truly born again. The sense of urgency should involve us individually to make sure that we're saved. Make sure you're saved. To make sure that we are fessed up, prayed up, read up, and ready and right with the Lord. Thirdly, to make sure that we're looking forward to being with Jesus. But you know what? This sense of urgency should also involve others. The sense of urgency about the Lord's return should involve others. You know, we should make sure that our family members are truly saved. And again, now, not down the road. I'll do that sometime. I'm sure I will some point. But really, we need a sense of urgency now. We need to make sure that our friends are saved now. I mean, when the trumpet sounds, it's too late for us to tell them. We're out of here. We won't have any more voice. Make sure that our neighbors are saved now. Make sure that those around us are saved. You know that friendly cashier at the bank? You know that person that may be at wherever you do, you go to the clinic, or maybe the nurse or the receptionist or whatever, or the doctor, are they truly born again? I mean, really, the time to figure that out and to talk to them about it is now, with a sense of urgency. And we need to make sure that we're telling others about Jesus. Every opportunity we get, we need to make sure that we're telling other people about Jesus now. Not down the road, but now. We need to do that with a sense of urgency. As I said several times, and we'll say one more time, before that clock strikes 7:30, the Lord might come back. To be honest with you, it might not even wait till 7:30. It could be 7:25. You know, like an ambulance with its siren on, like a football team in the 2-minute drill, like a pregnant woman with real contractions, and like a crooked cowboy being chased by a sheriff's posse, we need to have a sense of urgency. Really, we do. A sense of urgency. The Lord is coming back soon. Soon. And I'll say it one more time. If there's anybody lost listening in or here, be saved now. One of the biggest lies and worst lies of the devil is you'll have another chance. How many people are in hell because they kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off? And they've lost this world and never trusted the Lord as their Savior. If you would bow your head and close your eyes, let me ask you individually, do you have a sense of urgency about the Lord's return? A sense of urgency about the Lord's return. you saved? If you know that you're saved, if you know that you know that you know that you're saved, if you're 100% sure that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven tonight, raise your hand up real high. I want to see it. Raise your hand up real high and say, I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Thank the Lord. You can put your hands down. Let me ask those same folks who just raised their hands, are you fessed up, prayed up, read up? In other words, are you right with the Lord right now? If not, what you going to do about it? If not, can I encourage you to take this moment and say, God, forgive me. God, help me. Help me to be prayed up, fessed up, read up, and ready. Right with you in a close relationship. Would you take just a moment and talk to the Lord about that? Another question. Are you looking forward to being with Jesus? Are you looking forward to being with Jesus? And last question. Are you sharing Jesus with the people around you with a sense of urgency? If you don't feel that you have the urgency that you should, would you take just another moment and say, Lord, help me to be urgent. Help me to have that sense of urgency to tell people about Jesus. Would you do that? And all of God's people said,